We are going to be in Psalm 98 this morning. This is our final Sunday of our Summer of Psalms series. And Psalm 98 is going to call us in to worship him this morning. So you can open up to Psalm 98. And as you're doing that, I'm just going to go ahead and ruin some of y'all's day and maybe some of y'all's week right now by this one statement. Can you believe summer is over? Can you believe that, like, this coming week, it's going to be into August? Like, it's over. The summer students that you looked for all last semester that was coming and all the good things that were going to happen, it's done. It's over. It's past. We've had a lot of really cool things that have gone on. You've done trips. You've done all of this fun things, and maybe you've had some rest, and maybe it's been a really busy summer, but it is almost over. And in Pastor Cam's wisdom and in God's providence, you're getting me after the longest stretch of nights sleeping in my own bed all summer. So I should be the most rested this Sunday as I've been all summer, but it has been an incredible summer for us, for my family, for the students, and everything that has gone on here at LBC. It's been an incredible summer. And if you want to know more about the things that have gone on this summer and all the stuff that students were involved in, I would invite you to come to Go Night. That's going to happen on August 17th, where you're going to get to hear about stuff that went on this summer with kids clubs and Nicaragua and college students that went and did other very cool things over the summer. And I want you to come and I want you to hear from students about all the stuff that went on this summer, because that is going to help build you up. That's going to help cause you to sing a new song like the psalmist is going to ask us to do. Maybe you were thinking he's going to make these announcements and then he's going to pray and we're going to get into Psalm 98. But those things, the stuff that we've been doing this summer, are pulling out of Psalm 98, the truths that come from it. The things that have been going on this summer are directly connected to why we are called to sing a new song, why we are called to raise a joyful noise. Why do we prioritize missions and evangelism and discipleship and being sent as a people? Why do we desire to place students in situations and circumstances where they're going to be exposed to the truths of the gospel and to God's word? Was because of the truth of the very last line of Psalm 98. The psalmist concludes this psalm of worship and praise with this line. He says, "He," that's God, "will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." So because God is going to judge the world, we desire to see people go from singing songs of anger and mourning and frustration to people that are singing songs of praise and joy and celebration. We desire to see people singing a new song, praising God out of the depths of what he has done for them in the past, in the present, and what he says he's going to do for them in the future. See, Psalm 98 is a psalm of praise, but it's a psalm of praise in the hope of God's coming judgment. And as I was reading and doing some studying, I read a quote by Tim Keller, and he says, if you can reconcile these two things, hope and judgment, you can actually understand the majority of the Bible. Because the Bible is a story of hope that is going to come through God's coming judgment. And Psalm 98 is going to celebrate the hope that we have in Christ in light of his coming judgment. And we struggle with those two things even on their own. We struggle with the idea of hope, and we struggle with the idea of judgment. How are we supposed to find hope? If you just look at the world around us, it is a desperate place for hope. We will try to find hope in anything. And as we look at the world around us, more often than not, we see that sin is grabbing more control over people's lives every day. We see that evil is conquering over good every day. In our own lives, we see that maybe our business is failing. We see that our marriage is on the rope. We see that our kids have no interest in the things of God, and we struggle to find hope. And then you throw judgment on top of that, and we look at ourselves, and if we're honest with ourselves, we say, I'm deserving of the judgment. Not only can I not find hope, but if God is going to judge me as he's going to judge the peoples with equity, what hope do I have? My sinful desires still have a hold on me. My affections, my longings are not only for the Lord. If God is going to judge me with equity, I'm out of luck. I don't have any hope, and the judgment makes that even scarier. And so how is the psalmist going to call us to sing a new song? How is he going to tell us to make a joyful noise? How is he going to ask us to sing praises in light of those things, in light of the hope that we can't seem to grab, and in light of the judgment that seems like we can't escape it? And so what I want us to do this morning as we look at Psalm 98 is I want us to see why the psalmist says we should sing a new song. And here's what I believe. I believe the psalmist wants us to see that God has given us a reason to sing a new song. That the psalmist isn't asking us to do something that is unfounded. He's not asking us to do something that we're not capable of or that we can't come up to. He is asking us to sing a new song because God has given us a reason to do so. And I think the psalmist is going to do that. He's going to give us a word of encouragement for the past. He's going to give us a word of encouragement for the present right now. And he's going to give us a word of encouragement for the future. And so we're going to break down that past, that present, and that future by answering three questions. And these three questions are going to help you see where do I need to evaluate my life and where do I need to see that I am not celebrating the things that God has done, that I'm not rightly seeing the way that God is worshiping. Because we may fall into the category that I do really good at celebrating the past, but the present and the future, I just can't get behind. The present and the future are too hard, or I don't even remember what happened in the past, but I'm just holding on to the present, and maybe the future is going to be better for me, or maybe we're just longing for the future, and we're just doing away with the past and the present and just waiting for God to return. But these three questions are going to help us see the past, the present, and the future this morning. We're going to see, do you need to remember? Do you need to celebrate? Or do you need to rest? Do you need to remember? Do you need to celebrate? Or do you need to rest? So let's look at Psalm 98. I'd actually like to read the entire psalm together. And then when we get to this first point, it's just going to be verses 1-3, answering the question, do you need to remember? I'm going to do my best. I taught the middle school guys live class a couple weeks ago, and we were in a psalm, and I'd asked them to read different parts of the psalm, and they were reading it, and they were reading it like most of us read stuff in live class when we're asked to read, and they said, oh, sing a new, the Lord a new song. I said, no, there's an exclamation point at the end of this sentence, so there's some excitement that's going on in there, so I'm going to do my best to read the way those guys read when I asked them to read with excitement. But this is what Psalm 98 says, starting in verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous songs and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, and the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hand. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. And he will judge with the world with righteousness and the people with equity. And so our first question that we have to answer this morning is, do you need to remember? The psalmist's initial encouragement to burst out in praise before God is based on past circumstances. He says you can look at the way that God has been working in the past, and it should cause you to sing out with joy. You can sing a new song. You can find hope in the coming judgment because of past circumstances. And here's one of the really cool things about the Old Testament. When I'm teaching in the Old Testament, whether it's a psalm or a prophecy, I encourage students or the people that I'm meeting with or when I'm reading myself is to see who the psalmist is writing for, but also see that the psalmist or the prophet may be showing us something that's going to come in the future as well. So let's see what the psalmist is referencing when he writes verses 1-3. He says, "For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." The psalmist is most likely referencing when Israel was rescued out of Egypt. When the people of God had been suffering and had been enslaved in Egypt, to this point, maybe God's greatest work of salvation for his people, the psalmist looks back on it and says, we can sing a new song because we know that God rescued us out of a dire situation. That God heard the grumbling and the complaining and the tears of the people of Israel, and he worked through that to bring them out of Egypt. He says, his right hand and his holy arm. Israel defeated Egypt. They plundered the Egyptians and they left. The Egyptians didn't have the power to hold them back. It says he has made known his salvation. This slave people just mastered the greatest nation, the most powerful nation on earth, and now they're trekking across the desert. And all the other nations are noticing. And then they go to Mount Sinai, and they don't just go there and sit and see what's going to happen next. No, they go there, and God meets with them there, and he begins to tell them how they should be different from every other nation. He says his steadfast love and his faithfulness to Israel, he has remembered it. That he promised Abraham that he was going to make them a great nation and he was going to see it through. He's leading them to a land that's going to be their own and they're going to capture it, and there's not going to be anything on this earth that can stop them from doing that. And the psalmist says, if you're despairing, if you don't know how to sing a new song, just think about all of the amazing things that God has done for us, Israel. But we get the benefit of not just thinking about those times. We get the benefit of seeing how the hope that the psalmist writes about in verses 1-3 point us to Jesus on the cross. See, I think the psalmist unknowingly even is referencing when God's going to rescue humanity out of sin. That the great work, this great deliverance that he did for them out of Egypt is only a foreshadowing of the great deliverance that Jesus would do on the cross. Simon in Luke 2 proclaims he has seen the salvation of the Lord. Verse 2 of Psalm 98, the Lord has made known his salvation. Paul writes in Romans 1, the righteousness of God has been revealed to the Jews and also to the Greeks. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. we see the psalmist pointing us back to the great things God did for the people of Israel, and we see the psalmist reminding us to look back on the great things that Jesus has done for us on the cross. And the psalmist is looking back on an event that he never experienced. It was before his time, but he's just remembering that God was faithful. And likewise, we can look back on an event that we didn't get to see. We didn't witness Jesus die on the cross, but we did get to witness the way he is working in our lives right now. That the coming judgment doesn't cause fear and despair, but instead, we can rest. We can remember the past that God was faithful then, and so he is going to be faithful now. And that it should cause us to stir up. It should cause us to sing a new song. One of my favorite things to do with Olivia when we're at home, or I do it here, wherever we're at, because she enjoys it so much, is I love to pick her up under the arms, and then I get her right here, and then I throw her up in the air, and then I catch her. And she giggles, and she laughs. And as soon as I get her back down in my arms, the thing she says is again. She wants me to throw her again, and she wants me to catch her again. She wants me to throw her again, and she wants me to catch her again. And why? This is a dangerous and a vulnerable situation for a two-year-old. She wants me to throw her as high as I can throw her because it's the most fun. It's the most enjoyable. She does not have any control in the situation. So why would she laugh? Why would she say again? Why would she want Dada to throw her and catch her and throw her and catch her again? And the reason is because I've never dropped her. Every time she comes back down and she lands in my arms and she laughs and she giggles and she has fun because she knows from past experiences that I'm not going to let her fall to the ground. Now, I'm human and there may be a day when I miss and she falls to the ground and then it'll be over. The game will be up. She won't want to do it anymore. But somewhere in that little two-year-old memory bank, she's processed and stored that Dada is safe. That he's not gonna drop me, that I can trust him right now because he was faithful in the past to always catch me. And I believe that's the picture the psalmist wants us to see. Sing a new song, not because everything seems perfect right now and you're getting what you need and what you want, but because you know the God that was faithful in the past is gonna be faithful right now, and he's promised he's gonna be faithful in the future. And so if the coming judgment, if the current circumstances brings anxiety or restlessness or uneasiness, take a step back. Remember God's faithfulness. Think of the countless ways he has provided for you. Think of the one way he provided for you. The situation that was completely out of your control. There was nothing you could do to make yourself right with God. You were an enemy of him, and yet his right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for you. And allow that to stir up celebration. Allow that to stir up rejoicing and praise to the God who is worthy. And so some of us need to just step back and remember. I encourage students at camp, and I encourage students while we're in Nicaragua to journal the stuff that was happening. Write down the conversations you had, the people's names that you met, the stories that were told to you or that you told to someone else, because it will be an encouragement to you to remember those times, to have them written down so that you can reflect on the ways that God was faithful to you over this past summer, and then next summer you can remember that he was faithful then and he's going to be faithful now. And so do you need to remember? Do you need to just step back that the songs of praise aren't coming and you just need to remember that God was faithful before and that he'll be faithful now? But then the psalmist moves on, and he moves on to present tense. And so we have to ask the question, do we need to celebrate? Do we need to celebrate what God is currently doing? He writes in verses 4-6, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of the melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. The second stanza, the second part of the poem, the psalmist moves from past tense language, from remembering what God has done, to present tense language, to seeing what God is doing right now. The context of verse 4-6 is right now in this moment. He says, make a joyful noise. He says, break forth. He says, sing praises. And then he repeats, make a joyful noise. Right now, in this moment, is the time to celebrate. Singing a new song about the past, celebrating things that have already been accomplished, is normally pretty easy because those things are set in stone. Those things have started and they have ended, and we have seen the beginning and the end, and we can reflect on God's faithfulness. But what about right now? What about in this moment? The present is muddy. It's unclear whether this current circumstance is going to turn out for good or turn out for bad. It's unclear whether it's going to cause us to dance or it's going to cause us to mourn. And we've been taught to not count our eggs before they hatch. We've been taught to wait until the end to see what the result is going to be. We've been taught that a good day is just a rain cloud away from being a thunderstorm. And yet the psalmist says to make a joyful noise. He doesn't say to wait to see the end and then celebrate what God is doing. He says right now, in this moment, make a joyful noise. Right now, in this moment, break out the guitar and sing a song of praise because of what God is doing. And so we have to ask the question, why is he so confident that we should be able to do that? Why is he so confident that now, in this moment, despite what the circumstances may seem, we're supposed to celebrate? And I think the answer comes at the very end of verse 6. He says to make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. He says, you can make a joyful noise right now, in this moment, not knowing the end of what's going to happen, because the King, the Lord, is the one who's reigning. He's the one who's in control. The circumstances don't just get to work out however the universe wants them to. The circumstances work out the way the King, the Lord, says they're going to. Do you realize that? I don't most of the time. Most of the time I'm looking for the end to see if the situation's going to turn out good, not in the moment thinking the King is ruling, the King is reigning. He, the King, the one who rules, is currently reigning, and it should cause us to shout. It should cause us to praise. It should cause us to celebrate. Like, do you realize he's the one that gets the final say in all of the circumstances of life? He's the one who's currently holding all things together. So praise him. He's the one who works all things together for good for those who are called according to his purposes. So get your guitar out and worship. But for some reason, we don't do that. For some reason, we live our lives like the circumstances around us are just a cast of the die, just the future coming, and we don't have any control, and nobody has any control, and our lives rise and fall with the tides of the world that's going on around us. that we let the current state of our country or the current state of our business or the current state of our emotions in the moment, we let the current state of our family, we let the current state of everything around us based on who the president is or what the governing office is or what the school board decided to do this coming year or what the manager that got put in place over me is gonna say. We let those things determine whether or not we're going to sing and shout and make a joyful noise and triumph, or whether we're going to weep in defeat. And while those things are important and while those things have an effect on our lives, they don't get the final say. They're oftentimes only a distraction from seeing the ways that the King is working. They're a distraction from seeing the things that God is actually doing around us, that we can't see what's happening because we're focused too much on what we can't control. That we can't see that the King is currently working out his will for the good of his people and the glory of his name in every circumstance. So here's a simple question for you to think on. When was the last time you celebrated what God is currently doing? Not waiting to see the end result, but just celebrating that God is working right now. And you might be thinking, I just haven't had anything to celebrate recently. I haven't seen God working in a way that causes me to worship. And I would just say you're not looking broad enough. You're not looking close enough at the things that are around you, and you may not even be taking advantage of a key feature of the church, of this people who have gathered together and who gather together every Sunday. And here's what I mean by that, that you're not taking advantage of a key feature of this people together, that by being with the people of God, you will regularly see the reasons that it should cause you to celebrate. That even if things don't look good right now for you, you will experience the way God is working in people's lives around you that will affect your life. You'll get to see the joy of the cancer-free test and celebrate that God is working in the lives of people. You'll get to rejoice with the couple who celebrated 50 years of marriage. You'll get to see the exhausted looks of love on newborn parents' face who have prayed for years for children. You'll get to celebrate the college kid that gave their summer to serve church plants in New Orleans. You'll get to hear of the three students at camp who repented of their sins and followed Jesus. You'll get to see that right now God is currently working, and he has always been working, and it should cause us to celebrate that we should be a people of joy in the moment, not waiting for an end that's coming and not holding on to a past that was good, but right now celebrating that the King is reigning. And none of these things are going to make the news. They're not going to be on WDRB, whatever the website is. I started to confuse WPSD, which is a Western Kentucky station. But they're all evidence that the King, the Lord, is reigning. And they make you want to shout, and they make you want to weep, and they make you want to make a joyful noise before him. Because we of all people should be a people who celebrate. We of all people should be a people who make a joyful noise in the midst of circumstances that don't look good, not because we know it's going to work out, but because we know God is currently working it out. And if you're struggling to see the Lord's working, come ask me. Spend time in a live class with the people of God. We'll show you the ways God's working. We'll show you the things that should cause us to, in this moment, sing praises to the Lord. To get out our trumpet and blow the horn of triumph among the people. And it should cause us to be filled with hope. It should cause us to worship. It should cause us to praise. It should cause us to want to be here celebrating what God is currently doing. And so do you need to celebrate? When was the last time you celebrated what God was doing right now? And then our final question, it's going to look towards the future. We have to ask, do we need to just rest? The psalmist concludes in verses 7, 8, and 9. He says, let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. The one thing about the future, that it's going to come. We're not going to stop it. We're not going to hold it back. It's going to happen. And so the psalmist finishes by looking towards the end. He says, God's going to receive the glory and the praise that he's due. Jesus says that if the disciples don't worship him, the rocks will cry out. And the psalmist gives us a similar picture. Paul writes in Romans 8 that the whole creation is groaning, waiting for its renewal. It's a picture of the effects of sin. And that they're painful, but there's a glorious end coming. There's a king coming who's going to judge the world. And when he comes, the hills are going to sing out and the waters are going to clap for joy at the coming of the king who's going to make all things new. That there's a judge who's going to judge the world with righteousness. And creation itself is going to worship him. The Ohio River is going to celebrate at the coming of Jesus. The Appalachian Mountains are going to celebrate at the coming of Jesus. And we can get tied up in what is God doing? When is this going to all end? But the psalmist says we can rest. We can rest knowing that that day is coming. We can celebrate the present, resting knowing that Jesus is going to work all things out, that we don't have to fret about the end because it's already been established. The king is going to crush Satan's head. Sin and death are going to be no more. And if we're found in him, it's going to be a day of rejoicing like never before. The psalmist isn't going to have to encourage us to sing out. It's just going to be our natural reaction. He's not going to ask us to get out the instruments and play a song of praise. We're just going to be doing that along with all of creation. Because he's coming. And he's going to judge the earth, but he's not going to judge it in anger. He's not going to judge it aggressive, but he's going to be fair and he's going to be right. And if we're found in him, it'll be a day of rejoicing for us. So as we get ready to close, I just want to reiterate verse 1 to you. The psalmist says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Songs are meant to be sung. They're meant to be proclaimed. They're meant to be heard. They're meant to be listened to. You don't write a song and then put it in a folder and never sing it. The psalmist says to us, sing a new song to the Lord. And if you're not remembering and if you're not celebrating and you're not resting, and allowing the things that God has done and the things that God is doing and the things that God will do to cause you to sing out, you're missing out on the current hope we have. But you're also missing out on sharing that current hope with a world that desperately needs to hear it. That our song brings praise to God, but it shows everyone around us who we worship and why we worship him. Your praise, your new song is a testimony to the world of God's goodness. It is part of his salvation being made known to all the nations. It's part of his glorious works being seen by all peoples. And so I encourage you this morning, spend time reflecting and remember, get in the habit of celebrating and get in the habit of resting in what God has done. And we're gonna finish with a reflection time. And it's a question that I hope stirs some stuff in you, but it's what keeps you from celebrating what God has done, is doing, and will do? Because if you're not, there's something that's holding you back. And I want you to wrestle with that this morning. I want you to leave here being a people that is worshiping, that is singing, that is in every part of your life bringing praise to the Lord. And so in our time of reflection, think about that question. What keeps you from celebrating? And then as you answer that question, take a moment and just think about those three categories. And thank God for the things that come to your mind. Thank God for the past things that cause you to find confidence in his faithfulness. Thank God for the present things that you just haven't taken the moment to recognize. And then thank God for the future rest that he promises all of us. Let's pray together, and then we'll have a time of reflection.